Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 303, and this is one of your co-hosts tonight, Stephen Zimmer, live from Lexington, Kentucky. And joining me tonight, I do have two co-hosts, one who is just in now, Daniel Dark, and then joining us shortly, the wonderful Holly Phillippe. Well, welcome, Daniel. I saw you just log in, so you should be there. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was, for some reason, the phone wasn't even ringing. So I don't know.
No. Tech issues. I know that well. Oh, well, tonight's going to be a good one. We got a show favorite coming in tonight as our guest, and it's a good Wednesday here, and we're ready to have a very, very good show. And the chat room is open and working, and welcome Sandy Linder. I see Sandy is the first in the chat room tonight. And, yeah, we're going to be covering quite a bit. But first of all, how have you been, Daniel? Go ahead and give us a Daniel Dark update.
Been okay. I had a interesting surprise hit my mailbox this week. Actually, yesterday or today, one of the two. Some book called The Obligations of Rank, a novel of machine civilization by a young man by the name of Clayton Barnett.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, certain someone inspired a character there, I hear. They can enjoy that.
I've been reading a little bit of it today, you know, when I had chance, and it is a interesting little read, you know, so far. I will have to keep Clayton abreast of what, you know, of the prognosis of it, and you know what, how I feel he represented my city.
Very cool. Yes, and in that book, Kentucky has also makes its first appearance in his series, and I had a lot of fun going through that section. Yeah, it's definitely a really interesting take on artificial intelligence and machine, you know, basically machine beings. It's really, really interesting perspective that he has there. So I'm sure you're going to find it really interesting. And yeah, it's definitely got a very military campaign kind of feel too for those that like those type of stories. And yeah, real good stuff. And you'll get to see him in person because I just found out that he is attending Imaginarium. I don't think he's applying to be a panelist or anything, but he is going to be attending Imaginarium. And so, you'll get to see him actually in person.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to go ahead and get some motel rooms booked and stuff like that and get all that done and see, you know,
yeah, they're moving. They are moving. Yeah, from what I have been told from the hotel, they have actually been moving pretty good. So that's a very good sign. Got a lot of activity. The traffic on the site's been really, really good last week. We have just a constant stream of great announcements. I mean, just pretty much all the time. I mean, we're going to have some new ones coming out, in the, I think tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So keep your eyes peeled on the Imaginarium site for that. But it's definitely things are rolling. We had I think since last week, I'm trying to think of the latest barrage of announcements. But, yeah, we had a few different folks get announced. One I know was Jeffrey McDonald, a spotlight guest. He's an artist who has worked with everybody from the company doing the Witcher project. If you like the Witcher series, I believe on Netflix, and he was serving as an illustrator with the company on the Witcher projects, and also for Fossa Games, real popular gaming company. Then I think we announced James Fox, who's just an amazing award-winning filmmaker, author, screenwriter, publisher. He's got a company on the West Coast called Dawn Runner, and he's been a speaker at some of the big events. I mean, like the NAB and South by Southwest and Seattle International Film Festival, GPU Technology Conference. I mean, he speaks at a lot of major events. And then also John Cosper, who we had on the show. We had him as a guest not too long ago, and he's the fellow that wrote all the pro wrestling books. He's got about 20 pro wrestling books to his credit, so he definitely qualifies as a wrestling historian there. And then he's a award-winning author and publisher and screenwriter and filmmaker with a lot of stuff. So several of his works have been turned into short films as well. So really, really, really cool guy. And I encourage you to listeners to go back and dig up that episode in our archive. It was toward the back half of 2021. I think that he appeared, so it shouldn't be too hard for you to find it, but a really, really good episode. And he's going to be coming in person. And I think he's exhibiting too. He's going to be exhibiting in the expo hall. And I meet all three of those great guests coming next week coming into the summer to Imaginarium. But in the next week, we have more top level guests getting announced. So lots of stuff. It's just, like I said, Imaginarium is 7 days a week and nonstop. So it's developing all the time.
Well, I will not keep my eyes peeled as long as since I can peel other people's eyes instead. So
that's a good way of looking at it. Oh dear. Everybody go send us.
There's so many willing victims out there that
Well, it wouldn't take much to shut my eyes right now. It's been a heck of a work week. What comes ranging from editing to doing layouts and formatting to writing. I mean, it's been a crusher. So it wouldn't take me much to get some shut eye. You definitely have to peel my eyes open, that's for sure. But I do have. I think I told you last week, but last Thursday, day after the show, I actually officially handed off for the editing phase the second book in my Faraway saga. So I completed the novel, completed my polish up and revising phase, and handed that off for editing. It's called Rise of the Voyagers. Really excited about that book, and no breaks. Literally the next day I dived in to work on a novella idea that I've had for a while, and got on it literally the day after, and already am 6,300 words into that one. So, no rest, full speed ahead. And I hope to talk about that one a little more. It's a very different kind of novella as far as in terms of setting and so forth, but it fits into one of my existing universes. It's really cool. So going to talk about that more as it takes full form, but so far it's been developing really nicely. So that's been nice. But got another novel in the pipeline. So I've got three novels that are in the editing phases right now. And so now it's just a matter of when those get done as to when they can get out. But that's going to be awesome. And then don't forget February 23rd. I have the next Ragnar Stormbringer tale coming out, Burning Skies, on ebooks. So we're revving up. We're revving up for the year.
Well, that sounds good.
Yep.
What is your date on release? What is your release on Imaginarium?
Imaginarium, date on release for which on Imaginarium?
For your books.
Oh, the books. Well, I'll have a couple new things out by then because I have this one coming out Friday, and I'll have a compendium of Ragnar Stormbringer tales, and I'm absolutely positive it'll be out before then. But then it's a matter of just what gets edited first. But I have a new Rising Dawn Saga novel, a new Fires in Eden series novel, and then this new Faraway Saga novel that are all done. Completed and handed off, so it's just a matter of when they get done, and that determines when they'll get released. But they will come out this year. I know they'll all come out this year at certain points. I'm hoping at least one of them is ready in time for Imaginarium. I'm hoping at least we get one of those three out before Imaginarium, and with the other two to follow in the fall and around holiday season time. So. That's but they're big books, so it'll take a little bit to get through the editing. But I will also have some novella stuff coming up, and I'll be diving back into some novel work, and I'm basically in a real good groove and full steam ahead, so we'll keep it chugging.
So which one is the next movie?
Oh God, the next movie. Well, we are still working on getting the whole Raiden Valkyrie project going. It's just things got really kind of disrupted with the whole COVID thing and production companies kind of shutting down and all that. But we're getting into a better groove. I mean, obviously I got sick in December and, for a few weeks and, I've had to catch up from that, but I hope to, hope to get that fully back on the map before too long. So, yeah, definitely.
And asking for the public out there, will we be seeing any new Hellscape coming out anytime soon? Not that I want to know, but the public probably does. So.
Well, the new one just came out in time for Halloween. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the third the set in that collection came out. Now, one of the new projects I'm thinking about working on may, in fact, relate to the Hellscapes franchise. So I'm hoping to talk. It's not the one I'm working on right now. The novella I'm working on right now is different, but there is an idea I have for something related to Hellscapes that Tommy B. Smith actually encouraged me to tackle something like this. And so I think I've been rolling around, and I think he might be onto something. So, I'll talk about it at some point. But yeah, there's as far as like another collection of short stories. So yeah, it's a good chance it'll be another one out within the next year. But because I've got a lot of ideas for more stories on that. But yeah, it takes as it takes time to get through stuff. So, but
yeah.
we'll get on it. So
somebody like you that does half a million words a year and everything,
Well, I think I'm prolific, but tonight's guest, let me tell you, defines the word prolific. And speaking of which, he's going to be coming up here in just a second, so I need to make sure I get our sponsors in for tonight. And tonight's sponsors are Per Bastet Publications and the amazing Sandy Lender. And so tonight, I'll give you Per Bastet first, Teely Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, the great triumvirate, as I call them. And then we'll give you a little bit from the great Sandy Lender, the genre blender. So first up, Per Bastet. Per Bastet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bastet offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie and Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey's Bottle Tops for Battleships, or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at perbastetpublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events. Per Bastet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And yes, you will see them at Imaginarium. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing the three of them in person, the triumvirate, as I call them. that's going to be great. And so now 1%, and pay close attention to it, folks, because Monday is Valentine's Day, and this is the perfect read for you for Valentine's.
Do vampires celebrate the same holidays as us? Author Sandy Lender says, of course they do. And up next is Valentine's Day. Welcome back to the Rose Chateau, where a nefarious businessman is threatening our favorite vampire and his fairy love interest. Get your copy of Sandy's new release, My Fairy Valentine, in print or ebook formats. You'll be guaranteed a humorful blend of sweet paranormal romance sprinkled with a touch of horror in Sandy Lender's latest novel, My Fairy Valentine.
Thank you, Sandy. Great book. I'm well familiar with it, and it's a winner. And you definitely want to pick it up, a mix of all kinds of things. It's got touches of everything from, paranormal horror to touches of, cozy mystery to humor. I mean, it's a real, real, real amazing genre blend and a lot of fun to read. So pick that up, and here we go. It looks like Holly has finally logged on. I think Holly Philippi is with us. Maybe.
Hello.
Yes. Well, you may have just been time to introduce. It's just in time to introduce our guest because we're right on the time to bring our guest in. So you just get time to say hello, and then because right now I'm going to bring our guest in. And definitely a show favorite and always a pleasure to have. And I said it on a social media post, literally one of my absolute favorite people in the book and writing community. He's an award-winning author, screenwriter, and comic creator and actor. And he's got a lot of great franchises, very popular ones too, including the Snow series thriller novels, the Sheriff Tom Myers mysteries, the Harold Palmer thrillers, and the Lance Starr Sky Ranger serialized novel. He's written a lot of comic books and screenplays, and he's also appeared as an actor in a lot of shows that you might be familiar with, like Ozark Creepshow, The Outsider, Doom Patrol, and others. And so by now, I am sure you know who I am speaking of. So welcome back to the show. Oh, the one, the only, Bobby Nash. Welcome, sir.
Oh, woo! Good to be back.
Yes,
hello.
Absolutely.
Yes,
this is about my only social time.
Way too long.
Yes, this is about my only time I get to socialize, so yes. I'm ready to hang out with you, and it's been a little bit. Time flies, but with you, I mean, I've said it before. I mean, it's like you were talking just a minute ago about some of the bunch of stuff I had in the works, but I'm like, when it comes to prolific, I mean, you define that word, and I could have a show with you every month, and you'd have new things to talk about. I mean, I looked at your picture from Atlanta, the Atlanta Comic Con, and you had your display, and I was thinking, like, there could literally be a Bobby Nash bookmobile with just Bobby Nash books in it. I mean, it's great stuff,
yes,
man.
I do a lot. Yes, a friend of mine told me that we should start a drinking game with every time the word prolific is mentioned.
That's fine by me. Just make sure I'm stocked up on bourbon before we do that, so I'm ready. it's true, and I follow you pretty regularly on all your social media, and you're at it. I mean, day in, day out, consistently, and I know how it is to want to keep a good rhythm, but you're one of those people that I'm sure gets rest only when necessary, because you've got a lot of great titles out and a lot of things in the works, but first let's go ahead for maybe new listeners that are hearing you for the first time. Tell us a little bit about right now you've been promoting a Harold Palmer thriller, I'd like to hear a little bit about that myself, because I'm familiar with your other franchises a little bit, but how about a little info on that?
Sure. Evil Intent is the second book featuring FBI agent Harold Palmer. The first was called Evil Ways, which was my first published novel. So, yes, it took me from 2005 to 2022 to get the sequel out. But because I got busy, I got busy writing other stuff. But it's one of those things where I kept putting it aside, and I finally was like, I really want to get this done. So I guess it was just the right time for the sequel to finally come out. And it's a lot of fun. I love writing these thrillers, and so it's nice to go back and visit, the characters that kind of helped me jumpstart my novel writing career.
Definitely. And yeah, it's
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say, yeah, and it's, you know, it's, you know, Evil Ways was the one that, you know, was my first. I had done comics before that, but that was my first, like, professional prose writing. And, yeah, it's, I'd like to think I've come a long way since then.
Well, we're always pushing ourselves to get better. I know as a, mm-hmm. and as writers, we're always working to improve. But I was thinking a little bit about your situation in relation to, you know, what I went through the last 2 years, and that's when I realized, you know, I had a little bit of a gap on a couple of my franchises, and I just buckled down and realized I need to get new titles out in each of them. And so I had, you know, last 2 years, I've made sure, you know, get new novels out in each of my series. Now for you, I would imagine that's also becoming a factor because you have multiple franchises. So how do you decide which one to tackle next, or is it a feel thing or kind of a schedule thing?
A little of both. The last several years, you know, I know I'm not the only one, but the last several years have been rough. And
yeah.
I fell behind schedule because in addition to the stuff that I do myself, I also do work for other publishers, which, you know, it makes writing kind of like this juggling act. And so, but I was behind, and oddly enough, the pandemic has allowed me to catch up because all those weekends I was at conventions or events, I was home. So I was actually able to get caught up. A lot of how I decide what I'm going to work on for my stuff, it used to be by what I felt like working on. In the last couple of years, as I've kind of focused more on my small indie press, I do have a schedule of I want to do things at this point and then try to find some way to make those happen. That's where it falls apart for me, but I try to set them so that I know, you know, because like Evil Intent is a full-length novel. So I'm not writing those quite as often as I am, say, Snow or Sheriff Myers, which are novellas. So I do multiple novellas during the year with those characters. So being able to just kind of slot it and figure out what I can do and, you know, set deadlines for myself that I can actually meet, you know, has become the challenge of my life these days.
I understand. And that independent press would be Ben Books, correct?
Ben Books, yep, yep.
Yep, because I'll make sure I get a shout out to your press.
Thank you. Yes, I, you know, also in the last year too, I for the first time have published other people, which is, as you well know, is a unique challenge, but also pretty cool challenge. We started doing with my Snow series. We did this thing called Snow Shorts, where I invited some authors to come in and write short stories with the characters that we could release. It's like 99-cent ebooks to kind of get people interested in the world. And that has been very interesting. You know, I was terrified at first, you know, because, you know, anytime someone's writing your character, you know, there's two schools of thought. It's like, man, is it going to be good? Or, oh, crap, what if they write it better than I do? So,
or,
you know,
or it could go off the rails.
Yeah. So, but I played it smart. I started with, you know, writers I had either worked with before or, you know, people. It was people I knew. It was so that helped a little, you know, because there was a comfort level there, and so it's been a fun experiment, and it's been really cool seeing how some of these other writers are interpreting my characters, which has been really interesting.
That's got to be fun. I have not experienced that myself yet, but that has got to be cool to see writers playing in your world. And that's a good way to get some awareness. Yeah, good way to get awareness out there, having people create in your world.
Yeah, and it's really cool, too, because they will sometimes have things happen or write something in a way that I hadn't thought of with a particular character before. And so it kind of informs how I'm writing that character. Cause I'll go, ooh, I like that tidbit. I'm going to go ahead and incorporate that into my stories. So that's been pretty cool as well. So it's been an absolutely amazing experience.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Are there any of the authors that participate? Are they people that we might know? Did you get Sean Taylor in on any of them?
Sean hasn't written one yet.
Not yet.
I did invite him. I'm blanking on names here. Sorry. Gary Phillips wrote one. Mark Busquette wrote one. Nicole Gibbons-Hertz. Brian
nice.
K. Morris. And Charles F. Mill.
Oh, yeah. Brian. Well, you got Brian. I tell you, that's
yeah. We know Brian well.
That guy's awesome. Yeah, we know him well.
Yeah,
and Nicole's great.
Yeah, so,
I know Nicole's well.
Yeah, so I started out with folks I knew like that. It made the transition a little easier for me. You know, it made me less nervous.
Did
you tell them that they couldn't write the story better than you?
I didn't, but, there was a part of me that kind of was like, oh, please, I don't want fan mail to suddenly be like, why can't this guy write the book? but thankfully, though, everybody turned in really interesting, almost like character studies. Instead, the writers would go, I want this character, and they would pick a character. And so I wrote a Bible and gave, everybody samples of where the characters had appeared, stuff like that, so they could, keep the voice consistent and all that stuff. But it was cool to see which author goes, this is the character I want to play with. Yeah, so it was really cool. It was, like I said, it was terrifying up front, but after a while, it was really fun.
And these exist as 99-cent ebooks currently. Is that correct?
Yes, individually, and I also wrote some as well. They exist as 99-cent ebooks, but every three we would collect in paperback as well, and in a collected ebook. Because the novellas are roughly 30-ish thousand words, and so three of the short stories is 30-ish thousand words. So for people that were collecting it in paperback, we put the Snow Shorts collections in that same format. So if you're buying the novellas and want to keep getting that format, you can do that. And so out of every three, I write one of them. So at least one of my stories is in each collected volume.
Very nice.
It's me and two other writers. And like I said, if you're collecting the series, they all look nice on a bookshelf together because they're all kind of in that same format. So I think it gives the more opportunities for people to get the book out in different formats. We also have them in audio versions once they get up to the collection. And then, like the novellas, the Snow novellas, every three novellas we collect into a 6x9 novel size. The novellas are 5x8, so we do a 6x9. And so when we get three of the Snow Shorts, we'll do a 6x9 version of that. So if you're collecting them in that format, they still look all good on your bookshelf.
Very nice.
Because as a collector and reader myself, man, I hate it when they change the dressing or the size or something, and suddenly your books look weird. And so I'm trying really hard to make sure we keep kind of a consistent trade dress.
Oh yes, yeah, because branding is important. Yeah, and Daniel, I know you can talk about that.
Yeah, how many books are in your collection?
There are at present six Snow novellas that I wrote. There are two Snow Shorts collections. So that's six books. There is a number seven out as an ebook. Number eight will be out this month, and number nine will be out next month. So in paperback form, the novella size, there's eight books. And then there's two collections. The first three Snow books are in a collection, and the second four, five, and six are in a collection. So, and I'm currently working on book 7 now to come out sometime down the road.
So are they wraparound cover art?
There are, well, it is front, there are front and back art to them. We did, I have a trade dress for the front, and so the back has a its own trade dress. So I work with some wonderful cover designers. Dennis Calero did the cover art for the first batch of books, and Jeffrey Hayes is doing covers now for the Snow Shorts, and starting with book 7, he'll be the cover artist going forward on that. And they'll kind of have a like a almost a movie poster type feel going forward, whereas the first 6 books were more of a Dennis Calero did this wonderful image of Snow shooting a gun that's kind of abstract, and so we've kind of used that as the branding for the first 6 books, which is one big overarching story. Now each individual novella tells a whole story. You get the whole A plot. It wraps it up. But if you read all 6, it's part of one big story. So
oh, cool.
I don't suspect going. Yeah, started going Did forward. I'm not going to do quite as big a story arc. But yeah, it was ambitious.
I'm still on the book covers and everything. If you put the book covers together, do they make one large picture?
No. There is a design, like I said, the design element. Because we're using this for the first 6, we use the same design, but it's just different colors. And so the first 3, he's pointing the gun, off toward the right. 4, 5, and 6, the gun is pointing toward the left. So when we do the collected edition, it's like they bookend each other where he's pointing the gun at himself, basically. And so it looks nice when you put the 2 books up side by side. They kind of bookend each other.
Okay.
Very nice.
And could you explain what the whole premise and, like, let people know all about the Snow series, what it actually is, about, without giving away too much, what I'm saying?
Sure. I like to tell people that the Snow series is my love letter to the PI and cop shows and books I read as a kid. You'll see a lot of, like, Jim Rockford, Thomas Magnum, characters like that. You see a mm-hmm. lot of that kind of feel. I mean, it's a modern day thing, but it's the same just type of storytelling. So there's a lot of action, there's a lot of character moments. Sometimes the character, it starts with the characters and putting them into these situations and seeing how they get out of them. Sometimes is more important than the plot of that particular story. But it's a lot of fun. It's seeing these characters get into these situations and try to get out of them. So it's been a lot of fun. So like I said, and each book has its own like A plot. So it's kind of following that, TV logic, Snow Falls is book 1. That sets up the premise of the show, shows him doing what he does, helping solve a problem. Then book 2 deals with a mobster. Book 3 deals with problems on a racetrack with a race team. Book four is called Snow Trapped, and that's my Die Hard ripoff because they're trapped in a building. So stuff like that.
Awesome.
Just playing with those tropes of, the tropes that we're used to seeing in PI and cop stories, and putting my twist on them. And so, but mostly it's just to be, it's mostly to be fun and read and just enjoyed. I'm not pushing any agendas. I'm not trying to preach. They're just, I just want people to read them and just kick back and have a good time
and have fun,
laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the primary goal of the Snow books. They're quick, kind of quick reads because they're really moving. Whereas some of my other stuff, you know, we'll take slower time, you know, we'll slow down and do other things. But the Snow Books, yeah, it's got that 70s, 80s action kind of vibe to them.
Which is fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, I love that stuff. So it's a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to get in one question here from the chat room before we move too far away from your franchises here. And Sandy Lender asks, I think this is in relation to your shared world stories. Did you give a list of which characters the contributors were allowed to select from? Were there some characters that were off limits, and which ones? And if so, which ones did you keep off limits as far as the character selection?
There was one character that was off limits. Only one. Well, actually, there were two, because one I do kill off, and I didn't want anybody doing a backstory or anything. So I said, this character dies here, you know, no. And then there's the other character who is the villain, of the overarching villain. And I won't give the character's name because I don't want to spoil anything. But that one character, I said, this character is off limits, because if anybody's going to tell that backstory, it's going to be me. And so,
yeah.
But that was it.
Right.
Other than that, it was like anybody that's been mentioned, like Nicole Givens-Kurtz pitched me a story with Snow's mother. Snow's mother has not yet appeared in the series. She's just been mentioned. And so she's like, I like what I read about, you know, this part about her. Can I do something with her? And so, yeah, so she actually wrote the first story with Snow's mom. So it was a lot of fun playing with that and letting people kind of come in and put their twist on things, you know. And each writer kind of has their own unique style. You know, Gary Phillips is very much a hard-boiled detective thriller writer. So he took one of the characters, and Big John, who is Snow's friend, and put him into a heist-type story, you know. Mark Bosquet did a story with Mac, who is another friend of Snow's, who's an FBI agent. So he gave him a story of his own, you know. Brian K. Morris decided to do a Snow story. So there was no telling them you can't do – it was just play with what, you know, just tell me what you're doing, you know, beforehand so I can say, you know, because I don't want two people, you know, pitching the same story.
Right.
And so – which
right.
hasn't happened. So – yeah, and so there was really no, with the exception of these two characters, you know, because these books started coming out while the regular, you know, first six books were coming out, and so I knew what these two villainous characters would be doing, and so I was like, yeah, no, we can't do anything with them, but anybody else is fair game.
Awesome. I love how you tie all that in, and you've got so many components, and you've left yourself plenty of room to keep expanding. You know, you've not written yourself into a corner, so to speak. You can
right.
keep expanding on this, which is wonderful, because that does give you a lot of play and letting others, you know, jump in and you know, write their own little stories. And so, yeah, that's really neat. Kudos on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, you know, and it's been, you know, it was an experiment, you know. I figured nothing
mm-hmm.
ventured, you know. The worst that could happen is,
right.
you know, nobody likes them, you know. And they've done okay, you know. You know, you always wish you could sell more. But, you know, I mean,
well,
you
yeah.
sell a million. And, you know, you sell a million books and you wish you sold more. But,
right.
you know, but it's been fun. And it's also been – it's been fun working, you know, working with these other writers, you know, and seeing how they are interpreting things. And it also has helped me learn stuff about the characters, because in explaining stuff that hasn't appeared in the books yet, you know, and talking about that, I start getting other ideas, or they will write something in a way that I go, ooh, I like that character bit. You know, how can I keep it? You know, because I don't want it to feel like this is just a separate thing. You know, it's still part of that same world. And so, yeah, so it's been fun so far. And a lot of the stuff that I do on my own, the crime stuff that I publish through Ben Books, all takes place in the same world, so characters can cross over. Like in Sheriff Myers, mm-hmm. for example, he first appears in Evil Ways, which was my first novel. He's not the main character. He's like a secondary character. He then shows up later in another book as a secondary character. And all these years later, he just keeps reminding me that he's there until I came up with a story for him to headline his character. So there's been like minor crossovers and things, you know, with secondary
right.
characters mostly. I keep.
Do you hear what he just did, Holly?
Like a big crossover.
Oh, go ahead, buddy.
What?
I was going to make a comment.
I'm going to do this big crossover with all of them one day, but I got to come up with a good story for that.
Well, I know Holly and I are definitely our ears are probably perked up right now because we had been discussing not too long ago on the show the importance of developing really compelling secondary characters and giving them the kind of interest factor where they can actually jump out and be the stars of their own shows or their own books and
mm-hmm.
you know and that kind of thing and that is a perfect example. I mean that is a concrete example of what we were discussing the other day. So that is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sheriff.
Yeah, we tell people don't
Myers.
Forget your secondary characters, you know, because you don't know when they're going to pop out and say,
uh-huh.
"Hey, I want my own story," you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sheriff Myers character. Yeah, in Evil Ways, cuz in Evil Ways I created my own town to set the story in because I wanted things that didn't exist in the town that I knew, so I just created my own town. And so he's the and when it was done, I never expected to use the town or those characters again. Then I started writing a novel called Deadly Games, which takes place in Atlanta. But I needed, in the second half of the story, I needed to go out to a more rural area. And that's when I remembered, oh, wait, I created this town. We'll just use this town I've created. And so,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, as I kept writing it, this little voice in the back of my head's like, you know, this would be the point where you'd call the cops. And I would ignore it, and I'd keep writing it. And it's like, this would be the point where you'd call the cops. So, really, you should call the cops. And so Sheriff Myers and his deputies ended up forcing themselves into that story because the story dictated that we should call the cops. And so then I finished that novel thinking, yeah, I'm never going to write these guys again. And so, but every so often, the character would just remind me, I'm still here. And it was just a matter of the right story coming to me going, you know who would be good for that story? And yeah, so sometimes these things have to percolate in the back of my mind for a while.
And that even gave you a franchise in a different genre, too, because, you know, your Snow books are marketed as thrillers. I noticed your
mm-hmm.
your Tom Myers books are marketed as mystery. So that even
right.
gave you a different genre to market in.
Yeah. And it's one of those weird things. It kind of gets – it doesn't get out of control, but, like, in Evil Intent, because it's weird, Evil Intent is the second appearance of a character – who is a U.S. Marshal, but it was the first time I wrote him because, you know, like I said, Evil Intent took a while. So I created this U.S. Marshal character for Evil Intent. In the first Sheriff Myers book, I needed a U.S. Marshal, so I used the same guy. So these characters are, and so I have a solo story for that character that's in my planning stages for down the road. So it's, yeah, like you said, yeah, the characters start taking on their life of their own and like, okay, it's my turn in the spotlight.
That's awesome. Yeah, just to get in one quick question from the chat room asking, in the world that you've built, are the laws the same as ours? Or in other words, is the crime all the same as crime here? Are there any differences in the world building between your created world and our world?
In terms of like the Evil Ways, the Sheriff Myers, the Snow, those all take place in the real world. So the real world exists, you know, like
okay.
it does for all of us. I do write other things that you know are a little more out there, you know, that have you know more fanciful or supernatural or whatever science fiction-y concepts, but for the Snow, the Sheriff Myers, and those kind of guys. Yeah, it's kind of a real world scenario.
Real world setting. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you just gave me a great segue because I definitely want to bring up, you have a very active Patreon, and I love talking to authors that have Patreons, and you have your Lance Starr Sky Ranger serialized novel that's over there. So this is, I guess, a good moment to segue to that, since that is definitely a different genre, as you were saying.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier, like with Evil, I've had these books that I had started and would get set aside for whatever reason, you know, because, you know, when you're doing your own stuff and you get hired to work on stuff for other publishers, your stuff tended to get pushed to the side. And so one of the ideas that I had for helping boost my productivity and get these books finished was releasing them as a serialized novel. So what I do is I actually do two at a time. The first one I did Suicide Bomb that way. I did one of the Snow books that way, Snow Down. This is my second Lance Starr that I've done as a serialized novel. I'm also doing Deadly Deals, which is a sequel to Deadly Games. So I'm doing two a week. So you get one chapter of two different novels a week on the Patreon. And that allows me to not only be productive, because I've got to make sure I get at least one chapter of each of those done a week. It also allows me instant feedback. The patrons can read it and go have questions or whatever, or comments, or, you know, point out the things where it don't make sense. You know, that kind of, you know, like an ARC reader or a beta reader. And so that is a side bonus, but doing that weekly allows me to be a little more productive, makes me even more prolific. Take your shot. but it allows me to get more work done. But a nice bonus I discovered, like the Lance Starr, you mentioned the Lance Starr novel that I'm writing. I just posted chapter 22 this week. That's 22 so far pre-promotion opportunities I've had to put this book in front, talk about this book, so that when the book comes out, you know, people have already heard of it. And so it's kind of this, that was like an added bonus I didn't plan for. And so, but I like it. It's fun. It's cool to do that. I think the patrons like it. None of them have complained. So I think they like it. It does make me more productive, which was also a nice bonus, because, you know, if you're telling people I'm going to put out a chapter a week, you know, you do everything you can to put out a chapter a week. You don't want to miss that deadline. So that has made me productive. It's made, you know, and yeah, it's a fun thing too, to play a chapter at a time, you know, and then when it's done, you know, obviously then it goes into production, goes through an editing and a rewrite phase and whatever. But, you know, you're also getting, yeah, they're getting it kind of raw, you know, and sometimes, because, you know, as a writer, I like to change things. Like, I can be on chapter 20 and realize and write something and go, oops, got to go back and fix chapter 10. So, yeah.
That is interesting.
Stuff has been good for that. Yeah. So I try to, well, I also, you know, patrons are giving you money, you know, so I try to give them bang for their buck. I used to give away, you know, I was giving away ebooks every month of my backlist, but I've caught up on that. So, you know, and so trying to find different things to put out there so that there's value has been helpful. So I do those. I do other, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, and I do a daily, like, writing blog, things like that, just to kind of give – you know, hopefully I'm giving them good bang for the bucks that they're giving me.
Well, it sounds like it. Absolutely. And I think it's fascinating that you've basically got a body of beta readers that are helping you along the way of developing a full novel that will eventually, you know, get released in print, that is also serving to give you great, fresh, original content for the Patreon group. That's just like a win-win across the board. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you know, and they're getting to read it before anybody else. And then I give them a copy of it after it's polished too, so they've got they can kind of see, oh, he made changes, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I've also, like, I've named characters after my patrons. You know, I was like, hey, I'm killing some people in a book. Anybody want to die? You know, and they're like, yeah, kill me. And, you know, so I've used them as characters and stuff like this. So that's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's nice, the back and forth. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy patron. I have a small group. It's not a huge group. I'm not making, like, rent money off patron or anything. It's like a little mad money. But, you know, but it's fun. It's cool. And as long as the patrons are there, I want to try to give them, like I said, as much bang for their dollar as, you know, as I can.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also gives you a chance to change genres too. Like when you're working on a Tom Myers a story or one of the others, gives you a chance to shift gears, you know, during your week.
Right. Right. Cause like, you know, yeah, right now I'm doing a Lance Starr, which is a World War II pulpy action-adventure thing. But then I'm also writing Deadly Deals, which is a thriller, a murder mystery thriller. So, I'm not just doing the same thing all the time, and that allows you a little creative release. Because I don't know if you have this. Like, sometimes if I jump from one story to another or one genre to another – like, I could be writing one thing, and I get, okay, I'm tired, I'm done, I can't do it anymore, I've got to stop. But I can jump over to something else and start fresh without, you know, stopping for the day. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're giving out stuff to your patrons, are you giving them, like, a chapter of this book and maybe a chapter of another book and then a chapter of another book? Or are you giving them the same book?
No, it's well, with the serialized, they get a chapter a week. So I'll usually what I do is I'll put up a PDF of this week's chapter, and then a PDF of everything, including this week's chapter. So if you miss a week, you don't have to go back and hunt for them. They're all in one file. But I also give them samples sometimes of here's what I'm working on today, so that it may be just a sample. But other than that, no, it's hey, I had a new book come out. If you're in the $5 and up, here it is, an ebook, free of charge, you know, or as part of your $5 and up, here's an ebook. And so, yeah, it's because, you know, basically it's like they're buying the ebook. It's, you know, it's about the same. So,
yeah.
And then once you're signed up, like if you signed up today, you know, you could go through, if you don't mind going through, because I had this about three and a half, four years now. If you don't mind going back through 4 years worth of posts, you can find my entire backlog, you know, in ebook form on there.
That is cool. Well, Bobby, we had the good fortune of having you on a couple of our virtual Imaginarium events, and this year Holly and I and everybody is planning on doing a 2-day event, hopefully in the fall virtually. So hopefully that will work with you. But obviously the last 2 years have been disrupted a bit, to say the least, with what's going on, around the world. And because I know you maintain an active schedule, but you've had to kind of shift to more of a virtual thing in the last 2 years. How many events are you doing right now? And feel free to promote ones that are coming up. But I know you had a live one in Atlanta recently. How's that picture going?
This is probably, as of right now, this is probably the lightest year I've had last year, 2020 was.
2020, nothing. Yeah.
I had one-day show in 2020. That's just when, you know, things started shutting down. So 2020, mm-hmm. I had next to nothing. And through 2021, I didn't do any until like September. No, I think I did one in August. So I had a few last year. I missed Dragon Con for the first time, which was really weird for me. My dad had surgery that week, and so it's like, I can't go. You know, so yeah, I haven't missed a, I haven't missed a Dragon Con that's been held, you know, since 1989. So it was weird. But so far for this year, I had the Atlanta Comic Convention, the little one-day show, 2 weeks ago. I've been doing that show. It's a one-day show. It happens 4 times a year usually. I've been a guest at that show for 26 years now.
Wow.
They were kind enough to give me a table back when I was drawing my own comics, photocopying them, and stapling them together myself. So Wes and Dave, who run that show, they're wonderful people. They were very supportive of me early on. So I'm kind of grandfathered in. If they have one, unless there's some conflict I can't get out of, I'm there. I think in 26 years I've missed 4 of them.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
It's a one-day thing. It runs from like 10 to 4. It's mostly people come in the shop, but I'm there. I'm showing off books. You said you saw the photo. That was my table. Showing off the books, chatting with people. I sell some books while I'm there. Usually I sell books and go, great, I sold something. I go inside and shop.
Right.
Which is not a good business model, but it's fun. So I'm sure there will be at least 2 or 3 more of those this year that I'll do. I don't know dates yet. I just confirmed this one a couple of days ago. I'm going to be doing CoastCon in Biloxi, Mississippi, which I've never been to before.
Lots of good things about that one.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good about that one.
In March. So I'm doing that one. And I'm doing the Dalton Library Book Fest in Dalton, Georgia on April 2nd. And as of today, that's all.
Very nice. Good to see you getting underway.
I've talked to a few places about doing stuff, but nothing confirmed except these yet.
Do you ever do VoucherCon or Killer Nashville, which I think your books would go in both of those?
Yeah, I would love to. Man, I've looked into both, but I would love to do Killer Nashville. But the cost of doing Killer Nashville, from a business standpoint, I would never make my cost back.
No.
So that has kept me out of it. There's another one I haven't forgot to mention. I am doing a writer's conference. I'm teaching at a writer's conference in March or April, I think, in Cleveland, Georgia, at a college. So that should be fun, too. But as much as I would love to do those, travel is tough. I take care of my dad, so it has to be something where I can either come back home at night or he goes with me, and he is not as into this stuff as I am. So sometimes that's it's hard to drag him somewhere for a week and have him be terribly bored. So there's a lot of those type of factors too. You know, I'm a very small press, so, you know, money's tight. So, like I said, I would do Killer Nashville in a heartbeat if it was more affordable to my budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Have you ever thought about volunteering for Killer Nashville?
No, I haven't. Not really. I don't think I'm above doing stuff like that, but I know also if I'm there just doing that and I'm not like there trying as an author selling books and pushing books, I'm gonna feel bad. I'll be miserable.
Right.
So yeah. So
I understand.
But I do. I've reached out. I reach out to a lot of places during the year. Conventions are odd. You know, I love conventions. I would do all of them if I could. But I've noticed in the last few years, even before the pandemic, I made less and less in terms of sales conventions because, mm-hmm. you know, because the conventions are changing, you know, conventions are becoming a social event, which is cool. Nothing wrong with it. But there's a lot of people that are there to socialize and have fun, and they're not buying books. So
right.
I have to, you know, and again, if that's what they want to go for, no problem. But I just have
right.
to take that into account and go, okay, if I can't go to this
right.
con because it's going to cost me $600 worth of travel, you know, and table fees
mm-hmm.
if I'm only going to make $200 worth of sales. So as a, from a business
mm-hmm.
standpoint, you know, yeah, I know. Being a businessman really harshes the creative side. You know, because the
yes,
creator in me
yeah.
is like, yeah, I'll do anything you want.
Yeah.
The businessman,
like
the guy that fills out the taxes, goes, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I went to BoucherCon, it, you know, the first thing they do is they hand you a bag of books.
Yeah.
You know, a tote bag full of books. And
mm-hmm.
then you know, they have a thing with the Big Five and everything that are promoting their authors and everything that the authors are standing there behind the tables and you can go down through there and have them sign, you know, books, and they get, you know, they've got stacks of books behind the table.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford
yeah,
that. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as a small, you know, but I couldn't sell any of my books there at all.
Right.
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 That's what I mean. That, you know, you got the big boys there who can give away their books. They can afford to do
right.
that. And then you've got those, you know, all of us independent and small presses and, you know, it, we can't afford to do that. And
yeah.
so it,
well,
it
with,
makes it tough.
Yeah. And with conventions, you're, you know, and again, I don't want this to sound like I'm complaining because, hey, there's a market for all this. But when you're doing like
right.
a convention, you're also competing against, I'm competing against actors who are, you know, charging $80 for a signature.
Oh, yeah, for
pay,
the photo ops. Yeah.
And then $200 to have a photo. So, you know, people are,
right.
that's what they're there for. And so I, you know, by the time you filter down to the low level where I am, people are broke. And I get that.
Right.
And, so, and like I said,
mm-hmm.
if, you know, I don't begrudge anybody any of that. You know, you go to the convention for what you want to go for. It's just the business, like I said, the business side of me has to go, okay, I don't do good sales at this show, so I have to say no to that show, even though I love that show. And that's
right.
so that's hard, but you have to do that sometimes.
It
yeah.
is hard and
yeah.
yeah, we completely understand that. And that's what I said though, that's one thing we try to Imaginarium, we've had this set up and it took a few years to catch on for people to wrap
mm-hmm.
their mind that Imaginarium is not like a regular convention you're going to go to. We finally have managed to do that, and we've grown and broke those barriers to where people realize, oh, I can come have fun. I can sell books because these are all book people. You know, these are writers.
Right.
These are publishers. These are fans of you know, writers, and these people read, and writers read too, you know, so
yep.
we have the stopping ground for the readers, and a lot of our filmmakers, most of them actually, are screenwriters, and so they read, they, you know, and we've tried to push, and finally we've got the floor traffic up, and we've got, you know, and every year we grow more, and that's
mm-hmm.
what we try to tailor it to where, you know, people can sell books. And last year, people were selling books, which is so thankful for that.
Yep.
And we sold some, you know. But, yeah, I mean, me and Steve has been to events that weren't book-focused, that were more Comic-Con or pop, you know. And
fandom,
they just wasn't
events,
there to buy
yeah.
books. Yeah, they
yeah.
wasn't there to
yeah.
buy books. They're there to
yeah.
go to the big events and see the celebrities and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and get photo ops. And it's mm-hmm. a whole different structure. They're not there to network.
Yeah.
They're not there to,
right.
you know, talk about independent creating. It's just set up totally different, you know.
Right.
And yeah,
and
we
yeah,
haven't had a lot of luck.
Yeah, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with that, if that because that's what they're
no,
all doing.
No,
but,
no.
But
if that's
from,
what you're there
the,
for,
yeah.
then that's cool,
yeah.
man. You know, and yeah, it is fun. I love it. I you know I would love to go just mm-hmm. to hang out and have fun. But for us, it's not feasible.
Right.
You know, we're like you. We're wanting to make money and spread the word
yeah,
about our.
Business.
Well, we have
yeah.
to. Yeah, this is our
yeah,
livelihood.
That's
yeah.
our,
Bobby and us. Yeah,
yeah.
so yeah, we
yeah.
can't afford to fall backwards.
yeah.
No,
now, I will say that one of the things that has come out of the last couple of years of the apocalypse that we've lived through is
yeah.
the creation and increase of virtual events. Like
yeah.
you know, we did virtual Imaginarium last year. I did virtual
mm-hmm.
Dragon Con. I did virtual a lot of things. But it allowed me to get into to at least promote to markets that I don't normally get to go to. There were libraries the last few years that were doing like an hour session, like interview the author and talk, you know, like what we're doing now, but doing it for the people
right.
in the library. And so
oh,
I was
that's
able
cool.
to talk yeah. to, I was able to talk to markets that I had never, that I don't physically am not able to go to. And so that has been wonderful, being able to do some of
mm-hmm.
these panels or virtual workshops or even stuff like doing a Facebook Live where you can just talk directly to the people listening. You know, you take kind of
mm-hmm.
like what we're doing here, except, you know, people are putting questions in the chat. You answer the questions and, you know, there's a lot of back. And so I am loving the fact that that has going on and it's still going on. And I hope that doesn't go away,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
no,
that is a
neither,
great platform. Yeah. It's a great platform
mm-hmm.
for creative people to reach their audience. And I, yeah.
Well,
so,
and for people all over the world that couldn't normally travel to the States,
right.
It's just not feasible for them, you know,
yeah.
cost wise, health wise, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives them a chance to join in.
Yeah, exactly. People
you know,
from all over the world, you know, could come
right.
to Imaginarium virtual last year. You know, people
right.
that can't fly, you know, that can't afford to fly across the country and, or across the world. And so, yeah, so
mm-hmm.
it is actually, I think in some cases that has made fandom a little closer because, you know,
mm-hmm.
we were able to talk to people that we don't normally get to talk to and vice versa. And I think that has been wonderful. And I'm hoping that when and if things ever go back to normal, that that doesn't stop. You know, I hope that we can find
mm-hmm.
a way to even though now, even though we're back to doing, you know, in-person events, you know, it's nice to see that these kind of things are still happening as well. I think it's a wonderful
mm-hmm.
tool, and I hope we can continue using it.
We are actually looking into – because last year doing the hybrid, it was a lot, and it was a lot
mm-hmm.
on me. And we've looked into skewing that model a little bit, but not throwing it out and forgetting about it, you know, the baby with the bathwater. But
right.
me and Steve had talked about doing like a two-day event later on in the year that we'll do virtual, you know,
mm-hmm.
an imaginary virtual event later in the year. Get some prime guests, some prime teachers, do workshops, do, you know,
mm-hmm.
Critiques, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also
mm-hmm.
allows you to put your convention front and center twice a year. You know, people, you know.
That's true.
When you have just one event a year, you're focused on
mm-hmm.
that. If you're doing two things like that, yeah, it can only help people remember the convention or, you know, get familiar with it,
right.
you know, because they're hearing of it this way. And if they enjoy the virtual, then they go, ooh, next year I want to go to this one in person.
Person.
So, yes,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a
right.
wonderful, wonderful tool.
Yeah. Well, I think that to encourage you a little bit, Bobby, I think that over the last couple of years, people have gotten acclimated to using live streaming and things like that. We've had a bumper crop of authors that have been doing great channels. So Brian K. Morris, to bring one example, of people are doing really nice work in the, you know, the YouTube communities and other platforms and live streaming and things like that. And I think that it's become such a part of our culture now, YouTubing and live streaming and whatnot. I think that, yeah, you're always going to have an outlet for the virtual side now, and I think it's only going to improve. So I think it's I think it's here to stay is what I'm getting at. Even if COVID vanishes completely, even if it were to vanish entirely, yeah, we're still going to have great room for that, because you're right, you can get people from around the world to be able to participate together in ways that you can't do with a physical event.
Right. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's been – well, I totally lost my train of thought there. Sorry. But, yeah, it's, it's kind of brought our fandom together a little bit, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But, yeah, it's it's another tool in our toolbox, you know, just like we've all learned to – I mean, I'm sure, you know, you guys, when you started, you do a lot of stuff now that you didn't do then. You know, I sell books.
Oh, yeah. Learn all the.
I have like an online store. You know, there's all kinds of things that they're just one more tool in our toolbox.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you always learn. You learn lessons the hard way.
Yeah,
you get a little better each time.
Yeah, absolutely. I learn more when I screw up than when I than when I do things right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what Holly and I are focused on, that not repeating mistakes and trying to do things differently. Mm-hmm. You know, when things don't work.
That's why
work
you always listen to your people. You listen to the feedback. Love feedback.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to work and what isn't until you try it. I mean, that's not just in terms of conventions and stuff. I mean,
selling
you never
books.
Know what kind of story or character is going to work. You don't know what promotion type is going to work. And we try things and go, well, that didn't work. Okay, I won't do that again. Or you try something and it works. And you're like, wow, I can't believe that worked. And you try, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of experimentation that goes on with what we do. And there's a lot of brave people that get out there and really try things, you know, because I know sometimes I'm
definitely
not that brave. Sometimes I go, no, I'm going to stand back and see if somebody else does it first. Okay. Oh, it may work. Okay. I am not above using Scouts to go first.
Right. Recon.
Nor should you be. Yeah, we all learn from each other. You know, we do. We all learn from each other.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I like about, especially the indie writing community, but just the writing the creative community. There's, I know if I get a wild idea for some promotional thing, I can either just do it and hope it works, but I also know I've got like 10 to 20 people I could call right now and go, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Am I on the right track, or does this sound totally stupid? And you know that you will get feedback and help. It's
an honest feedback.
Why should I help you? It's a very collaborative group of creative people, and I love that.
Yeah, we've got those people too, and they even come over to the house even and share their data with us and show us, you know, what works, what doesn't work for them, and help to, you know, try to advise us on stuff. I mean, yeah, it's amazing, you know, how cool and supportive a lot of the indie creatives are, especially the successful ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really great to that's the beauty of networking. And you know, that's why trying to beat in people's heads. Network, you know. Find like-minded creatives, find those in your genre, find those doing what you do, whether you are self-published or, you know, traditional published or however, find your peers, find your tribe, people you could trust, people you could bounce off, you know, ideas off of. And it's so important.
Yeah. Right.
It is.
Because One person being successful doesn't mean you're not successful. You learn,
right,
and you
exactly.
And you support each other, you know. I want
mm-hmm.
my friends to be successful. I, you know, new books come out. You try to celebrate your friends' successes. I mean, because,
yes.
you know, someone else being successful doesn't take away your successes. So
nope.
I love the camaraderie and the people kind of coming together and, you know, supporting each other. I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally
agree. And yeah, there's totally room for win-win. I mean, yeah, definitely, and holding
mm-hmm.
doors open for other people if you make progress. And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, that's not always the case out there. But yeah, I see more and more people, and you're a prime example of folks that are like that, and that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, I'm always like telling people, like, "Ooh, I was interviewed on such and such. They're looking for people, you know." Or
mm-hmm.
tell them I sent you. Or you know what, you'd be great at this con. Tell them I sent you. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
It doesn't hurt me at all, and if it helps them, yeah. You know, and so it's a very complimentary relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works out well. Like when people say, "I'd like to meet Bobby Nash," I'll be like, "Well, give me some bourbon, and then I'll get you in touch with him." So, works out great. Everybody wins.
What, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. What do you know? I know that guy.
Yeah,
I happen to know that feller.
You're right.
Yeah. That's usually the next line. He owes me money.
Oh man, but. I was going to also ask you, because before we wrap the show up, we got about 13 minutes left, so I want to make sure we touch on this, though, because you have a cool acting career, too, and you've been in a lot of notable stuff, like Ozark and Creepshow and all kinds of stuff. I know the pandemic period has probably thrown a wrench in a lot of activity in production, but where is production at right now in your region, and are you getting some appearances as an actor lately?
I haven't done anything lately. There are more steps to doing things these days. Like, you know, before, really most of what I do is background stuff. I do occasionally get lines, but for the most part, I'm just go stand over there, walk here, to, you know, that kind of stuff.
But still,
before it was, they were like, "We need somebody on Thursday to work Thursday and Friday," and that's what you applied for. Whereas
mm-hmm.
now it's, "We need somebody to work on Thursday and Friday, but you've got to go and get a COVID test on Tuesday, and you've got to get a COVID test on Wednesday." So now it's 4 days,
yeah.
And which is not
mm-hmm.
bad, but I don't live in Atlanta.
Logistics.
I live out.
Right.
Yeah, it's you know,
right.
Every time I go in to do this, it's over an hour drive, and so it's a bit tough with everything else I have to do to lose that many days. Funny story, though, I'll give you this one. I was in the Creepshow Christmas special, the one with the Santa Claus is fighting the werewolves and the werewolves.
Yeah, really?
I am one of the Santas. We filmed.
You're a
we
Santa.
Went on we went in on Thursday. Filming technically wasn't going to start until Monday. But we went in on Thursday to film all the outdoor stuff. So all the stuff you see on the monitors of the Santas running through the snow, I'm one of those Santas. I'm not one of the ones on the inside. I'll explain why.
That's so cool.
So we're there. Okay, we're in full Santa suits in Georgia. It looks cold, hot as hell. We're outside. We're running with props. Fun day, beautiful shoot. My God, it looked gorgeous. The snow and the fake snow and it was gorgeous. We go to film all this. We film all the stuff outside. We're gonna come back Monday and film the fight scenes on the inside. So it's like, I'm gonna get to go fight a werewolf, you know. So that was on Thursday. I go home. Friday was the day the quarantine went into effect.
Wow.
So it shut down production for like 6 months. So when they went back, they had to go back with limited people. So it's all stuntmen doing the fight. So I didn't get to go fight my werewolf, you know. That was my big disappointment. I didn't get to go fight my werewolf.
Oh, man.
So that was actually – I've only done one thing since then. I did a couple of years ago I was in a movie called Joe Stryker where I played the tech guy. So I'm the guy that he comes in and gives all the forensic stuff to, and I do a big info dump of here's the problem and all, you know. So they did a sequel, which hasn't come out yet, but they filmed a sequel. So I was brought back in to reprise my role. So I did one day on that in 2020. And so I haven't done anything since July of 2020 acting wise. I would love to get back and do more, but it's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
with my schedule, it's tough.
Yeah.
But things are ramping up. There is production happening here in Georgia. I know there's several things filming at the moment, and I'd love to get back into it. But it's fun. It's fun, and like I said, most of what I do is background. It's like stand over there, you know, stay out of the way, but do this, you know.
But it's fun.
And so, like, you know, and I've been on some wonderful sets. You know, as you mentioned, I did Doom Patrol, which is a comic fan. You know, that was a biggie for me. Mm-hmm. You know, getting to be on Doom Patrol and, you know, that it's fun. I've had a blast. I've met some very incredible people. I've learned a lot, you know, because you're there and you're seeing how people do things, and so it's almost like going to a mini film school, watching how everybody does what mm-hmm. they do. And
have you ever
so
thought about like? Oh, go ahead, Bobby.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Have you ever thought about the other aspect, like filmmaking, directing, or screenwriting?
I've written a couple of small screenplays that were produced, mm-hmm. like little fan things. It's fun. I would love to do more of it. I don't have the connections to get in to do it like where people would pay me,
mm-hmm.
which, you know. I would love to do it. I have fun with the storytelling. I do have an idea in my head of a movie, like something I know I could film here that would be like a low budget mm-hmm. thing. I would write and direct, but you know, it's not gotten beyond the, I think this would be fun to do, stage, because you know, it's,
right.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time.
It is.
And mm-hmm. as cool as all that is, when I'm doing it, I still have these books to write. And so,
right.
you know, it's kind of been one of those pie in the sky, I hope to do this one day things. But it's fun. I mm-hmm. have, you know, I have also in the last year, been doing some, writing some audio scripts, which has been interesting.
Oh, cool.
I've written three. One has been released. And so there's two more to come. The first two are science fiction full cast audios that adapt two short stories that I wrote. And then the third one, which will be out, I don't know, I'm not sure when, because and the publisher is over, the producer is over in the UK. We do it at Thursday.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. so the third one is actually, they approached me and they're like, for our second season, we're going to do something called prequels. And so I've written a full cast snow story that takes place before Snowfall starts.
Nice.
So it's like the 15 minutes leading up to the beginning of Snowfall. So that's
oh, that is cool.
That. Yeah, and kind of, you know, writing dialogue to just be spoken without all the other stuff that we do in novels. So I would love to do more of that. I would love to. You know, I would love to try to film some more stuff, but, you know, I have two problems in my life. I either have not enough time or not enough money or both, or not enough of both.
Well, I know one thing. You'd be dangerous with a lot of money on your book hauls, because I love your posts when you go on book hauls, and you had a new one today with all the scores
yeah.
that you make in bookstores. And just something, yeah, just a cool smorgasbord of stuff you get on those treks. Those are fun.
I feel I should say that I do go looking for bargains when we do these. Yes, that pile today cost me $8.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I knew it was on a budget, but still, yeah. Great scores. But, I mean, you get some killer stuff.
My dad and I, we try to at least once a week, we take a road trip. Just to, you know, it started during the pandemic of just a, we got to get out of the house. You know, and back then it was just, we would just ride. We weren't going anywhere in particular. But we enjoy the process. And so now that things are a little easier to get out, you know, sometimes when we ride, you know, it's like, hey, there's a bookstore. And I'll go run in, or, hey, there's a thrift store or an antique mall or, you know, places like that. And you go in and you find cool little treasures tucked away. And so we went today. We ended up in Franklin, North Carolina today, and there's a little bookstore there that I like. So anytime we're there, I go in and visit, and good stuff. It's just, it's fun. And a lot of times it's part, the chase, finding that stuff is cool. You know, that sense of discovery and I dig it.
That's why I love going.
More satisfying to.
That's why I love going into half price books. Those places like that. It is awesome.
I actually like going into the library.
I love the library.
A lot of them have books for sale for like $1 a bag full.
I like visiting places like that and just seeing stuff and go, ooh, that's cool. I got to have that. I didn't know I wanted it, but now that I see it, I want it.
I have to have it now.
Yep.
That's why Holly gets scared every time she sees me go toward the vinyl section.
Steven, we're not here for that.
Sometimes
I use my little trips and shopping spree trips as kind of a way to reward myself. I've met some deadline. I deserve this book.
Absolutely. See, Holly, that's how it feels. You got to reward yourself when you finish a book.
You should reward yourself in some way. You know,
he's got enough vinyl. Enough.
Yeah. Well, even if it's just a nice dinner out, or you know, I
agree there
because you should always, you know, because I'm always. You probably get this too, I'm sure. I'm always asked, what advice do you give people, writers? And it's like, first thing you should do is set realistic goals. You know, your first goal cannot be New York Times bestselling author. You know, start small.
Yeah.
But set attainable goals. And then when you reach those goals, celebrate them. Because if there's a sense of accomplishment, and that sense of accomplishment and celebration will help propel you toward the next goal. Whereas if you just keep going and you just, it drags it out of you. And so celebrate those goals, you know. Yes, just rewrap some of his old vinyl, and it'll be like when you're a kid and your parents put your toys back in the toy box, and then suddenly it's like, just go wrap up some of
there
his
you
old
go.
Vinyl and give it back to him, and he'll never, it'll be like,
I'll know.
That is a
great
idea.
I know my collection very well.
I've seen in years. I can do that.
Even if you know it's yours, it still feels new because it's now in front of you and it's in your hand.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Great.
It's like, ooh, I want to play with this now.
Well, in your case, one day that future goal will be when Disney World announces their new section that they add called Nash Vegas, and it's a theme park just based on Bobby Nash.
Nash Vegas.
Stuff. That'll be a big celebration.
That'll
be awesome.
Be cool.
That would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
so we got to.
He's probably going to buy Disney and just make a Nash Vegas there. You know.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
that
I'll
works.
I'll start the Disney buy fund today.
Yeah,
I got.
That'll be. Yeah, I'll be some work.
30 cents. Yeah, I got 30 cents. How long? Yeah.
Well, if you put it into the right cryptocurrency, there's always a chance. You never know.
Yeah,
that's right.
At this point, I would probably be better off if Disney just hired me to write something.
Right. But, well, I hope that definitely happens. They'd be wise. They need some original, fresh writing like you could bring to the table.
Yeah.
So
I
would love to see that.
After watching Hawkeye on Disney Plus, I did throw it out there to all of them that, like, man, I want to write a Hawkeye novel really bad. Let me. And all I got was crickets. So,
hey, don't give up. Don't give up.
No,
keep
never
on.
Surrender. You know, like the famous old school Saxon songs, never surrender. That's right.
Yeah.
But
nope.
All right, Bobby. Yeah. Well, we're coming near the end here, so I want to give you a chance to give folks all those good contacts and web links that you'd like for folks to find and connect with you.
Okay. Well, my main website is bobbynash.com. There's links to everything there. If you just want to look at the Ben Book stuff, which is my indie press, that is Ben, B-E-N, -books.com. Yes, it's B-E-N are my initials. I was not overly clever, and I've been told in intervening years that it's confusing because I've had several people mistake me for Bane Books. And I was like, no. I'd love to have their readership, but that's not me. And then I'm all over social media, author Bobby Nash at Facebook, at Bobby Nash at Twitter, Bobby Nash Writes on Instagram, abrahamsnow.com is the Snow website, Patreon is patreon.com/Bobby Nash. So, yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. Stop by, say hello, ask questions, buy some books. I'll sell you books. You know, I have my own store, which you can get through the website. You can buy autographed books directly from me. Almost everything's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, places like that. So I'm not hard to find.
All right, Bobby. Well, this has been a great evening, as always, with you. And you know, I could have you back next month, and you'd have a whole bunch of new stuff to talk about. I know that. But before you go, though, I do want to give you just a little time to just if there's anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to cover or promote, feel free to. And then Holly and Daniel can wrap us up here.
Oh, wow. Wow. Nothing springs to mind. Isn't that sad? I would.
Well,
like
we did
to
our job then. Hey, we did our job then. We covered everything.
Yeah. I would like to say you know, I always love coming on and talking to you guys. It's been far too long since I've seen you guys in person. So hopefully we can get that rectified
definitely
soon. And
Sean Taylor too. We got to get him out too.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean's busy these days with the two new grandkids, so he's been –
I've seen him in forever.
As close as we live to each other, we don't – the last couple of years, it's only been here and there, you know, because we've really all just kind of huddled into our little cubby holes and kept our heads down. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that I got used to seeing at cons, like seeing 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times a year that I haven't seen now in a couple of years, and it's like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm. I understand 100% there.
Yeah, it is.
Well, if you're ever doing events in the region, you got a place to stay here. So, if you're doing something, an event up in our region.
Yes.
So, definitely.
Well, like I said, I'd
let you know that.
To do Imaginarium. So, if not this year, but maybe next year I can get up there in person.
Yeah. Oh, you're always welcome there. And like I said, if this year didn't work out on the live, you know, we will, you know, hopefully have some news shortly for you on a virtual edition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Yeah,
keep you posted.
Yeah, I love doing the virtual stuff. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thank you, Bobby. And next week, we're coming back at 9 o'clock Eastern, that is, 9 p.m. Eastern, next week of the new Star Chamber Show. Thanks for joining us tonight, Bobby. And definitely, we'll let you say goodnight. And we'll then Holly and Daniel, you can take us out.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bobby. Well, join us next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, for another great creative and another great combo. See if you can learn a few things, little tips, little tricks along the way. And keep, you know, being creative, onward and upward, as the Zimmer would say, and I will pass it to Daniel. Good night.
Well, we love to have prolific writers, screenplay people, and actors, and everything else that we have here. And luckily, we had one tonight that does all of it. And we appreciate Bobby being a member of our cast tonight, and hopefully you learned a lot about different venues of getting your books or your artwork out there. Until we talk again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.